Yeah. This is another story about dogs. Well, the dog that don't pee on trees is a bitch. So says Snoop Dogg. So get your pooper scooper, cause the niggas talking shit.
Welcome to the Thank You Rob podcast, episode number
58.
Officially sponsored by
Rims and Tons Clothing.
Get the latest and greatest in hats, shirts, and shoe accessories. Only at brimsandtongues.com. You can check out past episodes of this show at thankyourob.com, where you can also check out my graphic design work, which is mind-blowing and life-altering, known as I Define Design. You can also check out my other podcast called Some People's Kids Podcast. While you're at it, check out this podcast on Fuzz Talk Radio at fuzztalkradio.com.
Well, episode number 58, here with Bonafide.
What's up?
Bonafide. I told you. I was going to do it.
Hey, I'm not mad at you.
Yeah, Bonafide of Slow Spokes or Food for Thought.
Yep.
Or what have you.
Yeah, Black Bell Jones.
Black
in
Bell
the past.
Jones, yep.
Okay. And then just Bonafide.
Right.
Yeah.
Or Jeff. Or Jeffrey.
Jeffrey works too. Jeffrey Johnson.
Let me just recap real quick the last episode, which we didn't record an episode. This episode was supposed to happen last week, and I came down with some illness.
Yeah.
And luckily, it did not take life.
I mean, recovered.
I am still alive. There was some speculation on that.
I'll witness to that.
Yeah.
He is alive.
He's looking at me right now, and I'm moving. I'm not trying to eat him, so I'm not a zombie.
Good to hit. No bath salts.
No bath salts. No.
Good.
No.
Good.
Plenty of baths.
That's good.
That's not true. I couldn't even tell you the last time I took a bath.
I see you're winterized as a beard proper.
Beard
game proper. Yep. Shout out to Lando and all those.
Yeah.
Those guys.
That's awesome, man. I've watched that video at least 3 times already.
Oh,
it
yeah.
just came out yesterday. Big Zach. Big Jess. Big Wiz. Yep, there's a lot of bigs.
There's a lot of bigs in that. Yeah. Big beards.
If big those beard. Are out there unfamiliar, Big Jess and Big Wiz made this track called Beard Game Proper. It's all about beards.
Yep.
I have never heard a rap song about beards.
If you don't have a beard in Minnesota this year, you can't grow facial hair, I'm pretty sure, because I don't think any man out there, and probably a few women too, are winterized.
Right, absolutely. So a couple weeks ago then, I had Remo Williams on the show again. He's a reoccurring guest,
cool.
actually. And he brought Big Zach by with a gentleman by the name of Go MJ, who's an Eastside St. Paul fella. I was unfamiliar with him, but I no longer am unfamiliar. Now I am familiar.
Yeah. All right. Do I need to get familiar?
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Cool.
Yeah, he's a good guy. And they just played a show. They got an upcoming show here. I thought I had the flyer. That's the wrong one.
Obviously, I know Big Zach.
Of course. Anybody who's... If you're going to be in the rap scene in the Twin Cities, you got to know Big Zach. That would behoove you. And I don't use that term lightly.
Yeah.
Or ever. Behoove.
But I think it's appropriate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Big Zach also makes a cameo in the bearded video.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
I'm a little upset they didn't ask me. Maybe they didn't know I was working on this over here.
Yeah, no.
Or you.
Yeah, well, you know. I think I did see a post inviting people out.
Really?
And I had to work or something at that point, you know, and I remember like, man, I really wish I could have been at that. You know?
Yeah.
Looked like a fun day.
Well, it sounds like they're doing an album, so maybe there'll be another opportunity to
use the beard extra. Yeah,
so just look at that as an opportunity to really fill it out.
You know, I'm going to hire out the beard, you know. Maybe shoot for Santa
get
Claus.
Get some money
too.
Out of that
I heard
thing.
Santa Claus is going to make a killing doing it, so let's rent the beards out.
I gotta say, Remo Williams, he's been on the show 4 times. So he's the recipient of what I've called the Cliff Clavin Award.
Nice,
because
he's got a spot at the bar.
He's absolutely. He's always dropping knowledge. Well, that's a little known fact. But Capacity, Johnny Question Mark, both have been on 3 times. So
very cool.
You know, there's some reoccurring characters around here. You know? We're working on that. Yeah,
that's cool.
Making it. This is like Cheers. It's gonna be like Cheers eventually.
Yeah. Maybe. No, it's a good vibe.
But between that episode and this one, I've had some problems with one of my USB mics. And I thought one day, hey, I'm going to stop in a Guitar Center and just see what's going on, see what we have to offer. I've perused the internet a bit and seen what's out there.
Right, right.
But sometimes you just got to talk to the experts.
Of course.
And I walk into the local Guitar Center here, and I'm thinking I'm blindly going to deal with some salesman that I don't know.
Yep.
Boy, was I wrong. I was wrong. Surprisingly, I walk in and I hear this guy, hey, Rob. I can't even imitate your voice. Your voice is very deep. You're making subwoofers rattle right now. But yeah, we talked, and you sold me on this new, the Focusrite.
Yeah,
18i8.
You got the Sapphire 18i8.
That's Sapphire.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah,
it's
so this nice is, I figured of all people to record the very first episode with this new equipment should be you.
Hey, yeah. I'm happy to go on the maiden voyage here.
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully, I don't know if there's going to be much of a difference from just the little sampling I've done to record and just hear what it sounds like.
Yeah,
there's a difference.
You like it?
Those guys over there and these right here. So yeah, hey, it sounds good.
Very cool. Yeah,
sounds good.
Sennheiser, you know.
Yeah, I love the Sennheiser.
Yeah.
835s.
Yep, you got the 835 capsule here. Very nice capsule.
There you go. And he's selling it right now. Available at your local Guitar Center.
Come see me, Guitar Center Oakdale.
But today we're going to talk about a classic album, Snoop Dogg's.
Snoop Dogg.
Although then Snoop Doggy Dogg.
Yep, yep, exactly. And now he's Snoop Lion. Yep.
I want to be a motherfucking hustler. You better ask somebody. All right, so.
Yeah, that is a classic.
I'll be honest. When I do research for the show here, I normally refer to Wikipedia.
Okay.
Right? Some people like to frown upon Wikipedia because it's questionable, you know?
Yep.
But as long as they back up their sources, it's
yeah.
reputable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I looked up some facts.
Yeah. So, in looking at the Wikipedia page for this album, it's kind of funny. It says, because the album's called Doggy Style,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of, the term Doggy Style kind of becomes just like numb. It's just like a word to you now because you know it as Snoop Dogg's album.
Yeah.
You don't really think of it as a sexual position.
No, it's right? just more of a his whole steez, you know.
Right. But I like that it says this at the top of the page. For the pornographic DVD, see Snoop Dogg's Doggy Style, which is a link right to that page. Because apparently he did a pornographic DVD as well.
Yeah, I think he did.
I don't know that he was in it, but or actually, you know, had sex in it, but I think he was kind of like the host of
the overseer.
Yes, right. No, you're doing that wrong.
Yeah,
that was my Snoop Dogg impression.
Put it in there, over there. Yeah,
yeah. No,
right.
Doggy style.
Pass me that blunt.
the next line said, "For the sexual position, see Doggy Style."
Just in case you stopped at the wrong page.
Right. Yeah. No, I didn't want the album. Okay. I wanted to learn about the sexual position. And then for the label, because Snoop actually had a label called Doggy Style Records at one time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and yeah, he released an album called From the Chutch to the Palace.
Oh, yeah.
And it was not a very good album. It was not. And I got to be honest, I own most Snoop Dogg records. I wasn't there for the No Limit ride. I couldn't get into No Limit. I've never been a No Limit fan,
yeah.
And I'm not going to start now. But the No Limit Top Dog, if you're familiar with his career, was kind of the tail end of that.
Okay.
Actually, The Last Meal was the last No Limit album, but that was more like he was finally getting back into what people love Snoop Dogg
yeah,
for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I feel you there.
But the No Limit Top Dog was basically half... I'm just going to be straightforward here. Half shit, half awesome. You know what I mean?
Yep,
they had that
yep.
Bitch Please
yep.
song with
okay.
Exhibit and Dre.
Yep.
I think there's two of those, and I get them confused. There was one on an Eminem album.
Yep, I remember. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I get them confused. But either way,
no,
there was Bitch Please. Yeah.
Yep, yep,
Big
yep.
Snoop Dogg. So, yeah, Doggy Style. He likes that term, apparently. So much so that he has the DVD and the record label. So the record label I don't believe is around anymore. Anyways. But,
okay.
Back in the day, if you recall, I read The Source magazine. Were you ever into that, The Source?
Yeah, you know.
Back in 93?
Yeah.
I remember they always had a monthly, in each issue they had like upcoming releases. Little, you know, these albums are coming soon.
Yep.
This
That's
album,
usually what I check out.
Yeah, absolutely. Every issue was like, oh, it's coming out. Snoop Dogg's Doggy Style was in there probably 10 times. It was like, it's coming next month. It's coming next month. It's coming next month. And it was, I don't know why or what the reason was, but.
Got the word out, though.
Yeah, it did. Absolutely. That creates buzz right there. Yeah. This is like the Dr. Dre, the formula. The formula.
Yeah,
Detox is coming, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
When? Yeah, when?
But when it does come out, it's probably going to sell.
Oh, absolutely.
900,000 copies on the first day. They're going to be, how did you do that?
You know,
because it was going to be coming out forever and ever and ever.
Right. I think I've mentioned this on the show in the past, but I was reading an interview with Ice Cube, and they were asking, you know, you're friends with Dr. Dre. What's the deal with Detox? And he basically said, well, if you sold like $10 million in headphones, I don't think you'd be worried about putting out a new album anytime soon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, when you put it in perspective.
Which is kind of like contradictory of what Ice Cube does, because he makes movies.
Yeah,
and still drops albums like once every 3 years. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, well, you know, it's probably like a creative outlet for him. You know,
right, yeah.
Like an excuse to get out of the house, you know, and just go do something. Even though you know you've got it all, you're probably not gonna sit there and
right.
be like, "All right, what do I do next?"
Yeah.
You know?
Actually, Ice Cube just released a new video, and on his last couple albums, he's had his kids on a couple songs, and they're grown. They're like. Teens, late teens.
Okay.
One goes by Doughboy.
Okay.
One goes by OMG. And they're not bad. They're not bad. I dig Ice Cube.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for Ice Cube.
Oh, yeah, Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Some classic.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, I've just gone off way off track here.
Doggy style. What is
All
it,
the while we do it doggy style.
What does it say on the top of the across the top of the case? Why do I live this way? Why do I chase the?
Why must I be like that? Why
oh
must
yeah,
I chase
the cat.
Cat.
Yep.
And you know what that is, right? That's a George Clinton.
Yeah,
song?
George Clinton. Yeah. Definitely.
Throwback to the G-funk.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that whole album is pretty much a throwback to the
right,
to
yeah.
the G-funk.
Yeah.
That was kind of Dre's whole style was throwing back to the G-funk.
Absolutely,
for sure.
Absolutely, and you know what? That's what I love about rap.
Yeah,
and it gets me into like these classic albums. I own pretty much every Parliament Funkadelic album.
And I'm pretty sure George Clinton was pretty honored by
absolutely.
The next generation doing
because
that,
you're
you know?
Revitalizing. That's why. Like when sampling was first like a big deal, it was like, you're stealing my song, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You're collecting a paycheck. Still,
yeah,
so
yeah, no doubt.
Shut the fuck up.
And you're going to come to me and get the paycheck when I make another hit off of your music, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So like, but yeah.
So this album, it finally came out after all this buzz, November 23rd, 1993. And I usually ask, I usually say the name of the release date. Or I'm sorry, the actual date of the release date on the show here when we're talking about an album,
mm-hmm.
and I say, do you remember that day? Because most people don't remember that day. I remember November. Actually, I'm sorry. I remember November 24th. I remember the next day because there was this kid, and this was at St. Francis High School.
Okay.
In St. Francis, Minnesota. There lovely St. Francis. But he came in and he had the tape and. I was kind of late to the whole Death Row thing. Well, not late. I mean, it was only the second album of theirs.
Yep.
But I remember going to like Sam Goody and seeing these like the cardboard cutout of the Chronic, and I had no idea who Dr. Dre was. I didn't know about. I knew about Ice Cube. I didn't know Ice Cube was in a group called N.W.A. You know, I didn't know. I didn't know Eazy-E. I didn't know Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
But I saw the cardboard cutout, and this was probably. Right when Nothing But A G Thing had really hit.
Okay.
And once I heard that song, I was like, okay, I get it.
Yep.
Yeah, this is good shit.
Yep.
So I was like balls deep into Death Row. I pretty much loved anything they did. And this kid came in with the tape the next day. And as you know, if you're familiar where St. Francis is, there's no Sam Goody in the area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to have to drive to the nearest, I don't know, mall. I think would be
Northtown or something
Mall,
like that.
Yeah. And he had the tape and he let me listen to it. And I was like, I have to go get this. now. And I fell in love with Snoop Dogg at that point, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean,
yeah.
A man crush. I don't know what you want to call it.
But Jitty a little Juice, man. That video.
Oh, my
you know?
God. Yeah.
Was, you know.
Yeah. What's My Name?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Rapping on top of the, what is that record store? That was a big, big West Coast. It's closed now. You know
Oh, man. Racking my brain.
But do you remember? I mean, where were you in 93 around this time? Were you into rap at the time? Or
93, I was definitely into listening to rap. I was going to high school. I went to Blaine High School. Okay. Yep. And, you know, I was really, you know, Snoop Dogg was definitely, you know, an influence. Dre, Chronic, you know, that album. I loved that album, too. Right. I remember. I was in middle school when The Chronic first came out, you know, and that was, I just, yeah, those are classics, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
So you don't remember the day.
I don't remember the day, okay. No. This
that's all right, that's all right.
Pinning down a day. Yeah.
But here's some things I did not know about the album, that the album wasn't completed. Like, it was basically rushed to be finished.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't read that. Yeah. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I missed that one.
The album wasn't completed as much as everyone would have liked because of the demand for the record. The distributors insisted the album be completed. Otherwise, they would cancel the album's orders. And this resulted in Dr. Dre mixing the album and inserting the skits within 48 hours, which enabled the album to be released on time.
Wow.
Yeah. The album, entirely produced by Dre, he gets all the credit. I think this is kind of the classic why people don't like Dre, because they feel he takes credit for stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In some interviews that I've heard with like Snoop, he basically says, you know, like Daz would start a beat and bring it to Dre, and Dre would just bring it to some next level. You know what I mean? So it's like, where do you give the credit in that?
Yeah.
You know, because it's almost like sampling. When you take a beat and you sample it and make it something completely different, but obviously it's recognizable.
Yeah.
You know, you produced it to that level.
I think you definitely have to give co-production credits, you
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if there's, you know, and obviously if he's bringing it all together and putting that platinum on the track, as I like to call it, you know, then you got to give him his credit. But yeah, I see where, you know, it should
you
be more of
argument.
A joint, more of a joint credit would be a, you know, yeah, definitely, like it was a team effort.
Right.
Know?
Yeah, I agree. But that could be our Minnesota Nice.
Yeah, you too, know.
You know what I mean? Dre's like, I don't give a shit about you, Daz.
He is the brand, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I see, you know.
Let me tell you what I don't like about the term co-produced. Because every Death Row album had this on there. Do you know what I'm talking about? Co-produced by Suge Knight.
Oh, yeah.
Or executive producer. I think is what it says. Executive producer.
Yeah,
he
definitely did get some undue credit. You know what I
right.
mean?
Right. Yeah, like he wasn't in. He might have been standing in the studio, mean mugging everybody.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I didn't know you could buy production credit.
Yeah, right. He didn't need to. He just shook it out of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think I should get production credit for that. Okay.
But this is right. So this is absolutely considered a classic album. It's on tons of like top 100 albums. You know what I mean? And it's basically a continuation of The Chronic, being that it's except for it's Snoop Dogg in Dre's seat as far as the rapper, although he wasn't like Snoop's definitely the main focus on this one, and he was on The Chronic too, I would say.
Oh yeah, yeah,
more
definitely.
So than Dre. So it's kind of a continuation, and it definitely, you can hear that like G-Funk, you know, influence on everything, and it's just taking off.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think it was definitely, he was one of the main, you know, focuses of that whole thing coming together with his smoothness over, you know, the smooth Dre beat to the West Coast style. Yeah.
Smooth over everything.
You know, exactly.
So, I would be interested in someone writing a biography. I don't know why no one's... This is like one of the most historic rap labels of all time. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously there's the Def Jams and...
Yeah.
I can't think of any more offhand, but there's probably many.
Tommy Boy.
Yeah. But Death Row was like, man, they made an impact quick.
Yep.
And it was more than just music. They made it entertainment and obviously... even with the legal charges and stuff like that. And Snoop going to jail, or actually on trial.
On trial,
say,
for murder. Yeah, yeah, that's great. You know, yeah, I remember that, hearing that. Like, damn, you know, what's going to happen? You know,
right.
Like, is he going to prison or whatever? And, you know, he got through that. And look at him now.
Johnny Cochran. Rest in peace. Saved his ass.
Saved a lot.
The Chewbacca defense. Are you familiar with that?
Uh-uh.
That was a South Park episode. Like, I haven't. That was old.
Okay.
South Park. It was Johnny Cochran always had what's called the Chewbacca defense.
Okay.
And you know South Park style humor.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
he basically
yeah.
brings out this chart of Chewbacca. He's like, you see this? Chewbacca is a Wookiee. And he's something about, this does not make any sense, does it? It doesn't make any sense. And they're all like, the jury's like, oh, he's right.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Not guilty.
Yeah. But that's Johnny Cochran, yep. So the whole vibe of the, like I said, I would love to see a biography. Or I don't know if people are just afraid to like tell the truth. You know what I mean? Like, did Suge Knight really beat the shit out of people, slap them around? Like, I don't. People don't want to tell stories of Suge slapping Snoop around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The stars.
You know, you'd hope not, but they kind of they were able to rise above it anyways and outlive it all.
Yeah.
You know, and like nobody, you know, everybody, nobody. Is like, oh damn, I got so much respect for Suge Knight
right.
and what he did for Death Row.
I think as a collective, people get it.
Yeah.
He was an asshole, and probably had a hand in Tupac's death.
We all know it was Dre and Snoop Dogg that were responsible for 800,000 copies being sold,
yeah,
and
right.
that in 10 months of waiting, apparently. You know.
Yeah. He was an interesting thing that always kind of. I was curious about this. So on the sketch, what song is it? The sketch after the Shiznit, the song Shiznit, there's like they're playing dominoes or something, right?
Yeah.
And you hear in the, they're like, what's up with those fools that are on TV dissing you? And you hear someone say something about, now they don't say Eazy-E, but they say, you know, the HIV, pussy ass, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Now this was in 93. Eazy-E died in 95 and he didn't know he had AIDS. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, what the hell?
Yeah, that's...
The only reasonable thing I could come up with was that, you know, Eazy had, like, 10 kids from 9 different women or something like that. Maybe they just knew he got around, so they're assuming things. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Exactly. You know, at a time when there was a high epidemic rate, you
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
So... I mean, what, right after Magic, and you know,
right.
So it was
you're right.
Yeah,
Eazy-E should have had that Magic money.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's too bad.
Could have got that cash injection.
Yeah,
that was another South Park episode.
But just a little something to spoon feed the conspiracy theorists on that one, though. You
know? Yeah. You know, yeah.
Apparently, Dre knew. That's what I'm saying. Dre knew he had AIDS.
That's you know.
And Suge Knight gave it to him.
I mean,
Eazy-E. that's just more another layer to that conspiracy.
That's good. That's putting it on thick.
But man, some good shit here.
For sure.
Lady of Rage. Well, how do you feel about Rage? Are you a Lady of Rage fan?
Lady of Rage.
She's the. What song is she on here? She's on a couple of tracks on the album.
Yeah.
She's like a dope MC. She's, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Afro Puffs.
Yep,
remember that song?
Yep.
But she's on a few songs here. Of course, she's on The Chronic as well. The Dog Pound, RBX.
Yeah.
What are they called? The Death Row Inmates. The Death Row Inmates are all over this. Nate Dogg,
Bears.
Warren G.
Nate Dogg, yeah. R.I.P.
Right. Let me tell you. My favorite track on this album is probably the song Pump Pump.
Dude,
last song on the album.
I was just listening to that one before I came in.
You know what's awesome about that? So, back in the day, I was a big Criss Cross fan. Okay?
Okay, yeah.
Because it's like, man, these kids rap.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. They're the same age as me. That's awesome. Right? Well, there was this other group called Illegal.
Okay.
And they had, like, Eric Sermon producing
them.
Yeah. So, they had, like, that... reputable hard edge, and they swore. They were the same age as Criss Cross, but they swore. They cussed.
The rougher.
Oh
yeah,
man, okay. They'd fuck shit. They'd fuck. Oh man, they caught up Criss Cross and any other like an ABC, another bad creation, right?
Yep, those guys.
So the kid on Pump Pump, the other guy, his name's Malik. He's on Pump Pump. He's also on, like, I think two other Death Row related albums.
Okay.
Like, he was on Warren G's first album.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's just kind of cool to see him. Like, he would have been a perfect fit, this guy. Because he was, like, he's our age.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know where he's at these days, but, you know, just to hear him, like, I can't believe he didn't do more than this. You know, bigger things, I should say.
Fulfill the potential, so to say.
Right, right. But how about you? What's your standout tracks from the album?
I really like, I like that he did Lottie Dottie, you know.
Yes.
That shout out to Slick Rick, yep. You know. Fuck everybody who doesn't, you know.
Those who don't like it,
yeah,
eat a dick.
Exactly. And, you know, obviously Gin and Juice for sure.
Right.
Murder Was a Case is a really cool track. I love the beat on that, you know.
Yeah. Also a mini movie.
Yep.
Actually, that came up on the last episode with Remo here. He was talking about he was at the Mall of America back in the day, and he ran into... It was All-Star Weekend, NBA All-Star Weekend was here at Target Center. This was back in the day, obviously, in 93, or no, that was probably 95 when Murder Was a Case, because he ran into, like, Shaq and Penny Hardaway at Sam Goody at Mall of America, and they were buying the Death Row or Murder Was a Case movie.
Okay.
So, anyways,
right on.
Side note. It was cool. I mean, Death Row did it big, man.
Oh, yeah.
They did. Yeah, man, this album, front to back, awesome. And songs like Doggy Dog World, you know, that was a song featuring the Dramatics. I was like, who the fuck are the Dramatics? Guess what? I'm going to buy some of their old shit and check it out. And you know what? It's really good. It's really good. That's the, again, the beauty of sampling and hip-hop.
It introduces you to a whole other generation of music, too, that preceded, for sure.
So, one last note I gotta say. If you bought, like, the original first pressing of this album, there were 19 tracks.
Yep. It wasn't like G's Up, Hose Down was one that
G's
got...
G's Up, Hose Down, and they took that off of the the next pressing of it.
Yeah.
They also, if you remember, the artwork had... There was a song in there. Like, the track names didn't match up with the actual songs. Because there was a song in there called The Next Episode, which wasn't even a song, or apparently didn't make this at the album in time or something. The
But it was on the artwork?
Yeah. Actually, I got the artwork here. I'll show you in a minute.
That's awesome.
Man, this is just a classic. This is absolutely an album that...
It's so funny that you said that that they felt rushed putting it out, because when you listen to it sonically, I mean, it's still a great reference point. You know, I put it in, you know, like... That one in the Chronic when I'm mixing tracks down just as a side by side, you
really?
Know, that and Tribe, you know, yeah. I was whenever mixing tracks, you got to go back and forth with like your favorite Sonic album.
Okay,
you know,
like, just a
reference. That's kind of what I do, for sure. But those are definitely some of the ones that I like to go through. Anyway.
And this album has been digitally remastered, re-released, by the way.
To MP3.
Right. It's funny because it's a compressed format for the people that aren't laughing with us. Idiots. I'm just kidding. I love you. Let's take a break, though. Huh? You take a break?
Sounds good, man.
Let's take a break.
All right, cool.
Take a break. We'll be right back.
I think you should get more producers on this, or DJs. DJs don't talk much, but...
Cool, what is with this guy? Doesn't he know he'd look a lot better with a Brims and Tongues hat on? Or maybe even some Tongues in his shoes? Or just a Brims and Tongues t-shirt? If he had any idea, I would direct him to brimsandtongues.com and have him check out the web store and maybe get a new shirt or something. Anything would help. Only at brimsandtongues.com. Welcome back.
Hey, good to be back.
Thank you for sticking around. I know you've got places to be, right? I don't know if you do. I got to take a second.
I cleared my schedule for you.
I got a shout out to my sponsor, Brims and Tongues Clothing. Are you familiar with Brims and Tongues?
I'm looking at the shirt. Yeah. Looks pretty cool. I like it.
Are you a Packers fan?
Not a Packers fan.
Well, that's what this is, the cheese head.
Oh, okay.
But this is Brims and Tongues is more than just this.
Okay.
I want you to know. Let me tell you why I love Brims and Tongues. And I'm not just trying to sell this. They make hats.
Okay.
And tongues for your shoes that match whatever design is on the hat or the shirt even.
Right.
And a tongue insert for your shoe. Never heard of that shit.
Yeah, no, that's new to me
too. Shit blows my mind. But it's awesome, man, and they make a lot of really cool designs. Hats, shirts, and tongues, obviously.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd go with the Cheesehead one, but I would definitely,
understood,
you know, take a look at their catalog.
Right, yeah. Ribsandtongues.com.
Go Vikes.
I do some web design, and I redid their web store for them, so it's out there. Ribsandtongues.com.
I'm going to check them out for sure.
Yeah. Shout out to Amber Ace Cleveland. Have you met her before? Ace?
I don't know if I have. I know I'm familiar with the name,
okay,
for sure.
Right.
But I don't know if we've actually...
You'd remember her because she'd probably put you in a headlock or something, and then she's not afraid to flex that muscle.
Right on.
You know?
Right on.
Normally when I see her, she punches me.
That's cool.
In the face.
In the face?
Yeah.
It's
a problem. First step is talking about it.
I think so. No. Abuse is, you know.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Amber, right? Right? She's going to hear this. She's not going to like it.
She's probably going to put you in a headlock and start punching you. not without reason, maybe.
So in this break here, we were taking a look at the insert for Snoop Dogg's Doggy Style. And we noticed that there's a soon-to-be-released on Death Row section here.
Yes.
The Dog Pounds album, which did come out.
Yep.
Dog Food. Lady of Rage's album, which came out, which later in life, I mean, this was years later, called Necessary Roughness, which was pretty good.
Word.
And then finally, advertising Dr. Dre and Ice Cube's album Helter Skelter, which, as we know, did not come to life.
No, it didn't.
The most we got from that was the, what's that song? Natural Born Killers.
Oh, yeah,
which is awesome. Big fan of that. And where did I hear this? There's some Detox mixtape or something that came out, unofficial mixtape, came out, and there's a rapper named Sam Sneed, who was on Death Row at one point. I want to say he might have been the originator of that song, Natural Born Killers, with Dr. Dre, and somehow they were like, fuck you, Sam Sneed. Ice Cube wants to rap on this song. I don't know. I don't know what happened. But either way, the final version that we know it as is just Dre and Cube.
Yep.
But anyways, let me ask you this. You have 1 week to live, and you know it.
Okay.
And you're a music fan.
Yep.
Am I right? Like, music is, most musicians, music is part of their life. Absolutely. Like, you listen to music every day. Is Doggy Style in that list? Like, would you have to listen to Doggy Style in that week of your life? It's okay if you say no.
Well, you know, in that last week, yeah, you know, it'd probably be in that whole mixtape, you know, of songs to go with, because I probably want to go fly around and try to, you know, do bucket list stuff.
Right.
F it, you know, maybe take out a few credit cards.
No. I hear you. Yeah, I would say definitely for me, you know, and people always say, like, you know, what are your top 10 albums?
Yeah.
And it would take you probably, any music fan, it would probably take you like a month
to try
to narrow down 10.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, well, what about that one? Yeah, you know, that one's awesome.
Right.
Can't leave that out.
But this is, to me, this album is something that I could put in anytime, any day, and I would absolutely love it.
Oh, yeah.
Beginning to end.
Yeah, it's from an era when, you know, like the whole front to back of albums,
right,
you know, that was kind of like a thing, you know, where you could put it in a hit play, and that was kind of the 90s.
Didn't matter about the B-sides.
Yeah.
There were no B-sides.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
But besides that, right?
Did it.
Bonafide. You just released a track. We were just talking about this.
Yeah.
Two Broken Monks.
Yep, Two Broken Monks.
And is this your latest, like the latest thing you've done?
Very close. You know, like I also did, you know, been working with my band Food for Thought right now. And we're, you know, so it's kind of like parallel working. You know, I'm deep into both projects. And
so I haven't heard anything from Food for Thought. And I apologize for that.
Oh, that's okay.
Is it? Is it hip hop? What's the angle you're going with it?
It's definitely hip hop based because, you know, I'm obviously an MC by trade, but you know, right, like I'm incorporating a lot more singing. The band is like not genre specific at all. You know, they're like, they're chameleons with it. You know, we go classic rock one song, you know.
Okay.
Blues the next, rocked out, you know, some heavier stuff, a little bit of dubstep, a little bit of reggae.
Okay.
You know, like, they're all very talented musicians, so it's a...
And who's in the band?
We got Danny Melgarejo is our bass player. Jamie Thompson is our keyboard player. Okay. Colin Gibbs is our drummer. And Chu Vang is our guitarist.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how did you get the band together?
Actually, the band kind of got in contact with me. It was kind of crazy. I was shopping at Guitar Center, and I was at Guitar Center in Roseville, and I had bought some recording gear, much like, you know, like you went in, I went in,
right?
And just kind of, you know, they were asking, you know, what I did, and I was kind of telling them, gave them a few links, and next thing you know, like a week later, they called and they're like, you know, we're looking for an MC. And actually, they didn't even, they thought they were talking to somebody else when they called me. So they didn't even expect me to walk through the door when I walked in the door. And it was kind of funny because it was like everything just worked out. As soon as I walked in the door, they already had like a whole bunch of tracks, you know, like they had the music ready for. And like I have, you know, a catalog of tracks that I've never released that, you know, I had at my disposal. So it was like some of the stuff they wrote, it was like it was meant to be for some of those tracks, you know, like it just worked out perfectly that I was like, oh, I got a track for that one. I got a track for that one, you know, and we just put together like a half hour set, and we had 3 weeks to put together our first half hour set.
Mm-hmm.
And we
with
pulled
a band
it
that a new band.
Yeah.
I would imagine that be the easiest thing.
It was a tall order, and right, it was, you know, it was definitely like it was. I was scared going into it, you know, because I mean I knew that we were, you know, they were all talented musicians, so it wasn't gonna be like we were gonna go up there and not be talented. But I didn't know how well it would mesh with the first live performance and everything. But
and you had the Black Belt Jonesen experience, so you knew the band.
Yeah, we were up. I mean, Black Belt Jonesen had up to like 8-9 people on stage at once, and directing that mob sometimes was not the easiest thing. You know, so I had the experience, you know, of working with a band, and these guys, you know, they're definitely professional. So it's been real fun, you know, like I missed that, you know, with doing Slow Spokes. It was, you know, straight hip hop, obviously. DJ Green, amazing DJ.
Yep.
But you don't get that same vibe that you get when you're working with like four other musicians, you know. So it's cool to have that back and forth and be able to do both sides of the musical coin. You know?
I've experienced when I first started in the rap game. I had a band called, and it wasn't a band, I'm sorry, a group called Lyrical Pedestrians.
Yep, myself, I remember them, yeah.
MC Rents and the guy named DC the District.
Them, you.
Yeah. and we always wanted to play with the live band. I, for some reason, could just never pull it together to actually do it, organize that.
It's tough to organize.
It is tough. And as you know, MC Rents has... He had like a band called Definition of Dope.
Yeah.
And it ended up being like half the musicians. One of them was Mark.
Mark,
Mbeg,
yeah.
You know, Mbeg.
Yep. I introduced those two, actually.
Right, yeah, that's right.
Because I was featuring on Rents's album, 1981. Yep. And we were doing a heavier track, and I was like, I got the perfect guy for you. And I called up Mark, and Mark was like, you know, he's always down to come record. And dope guitarist. And came out and just... like one take recorded it, like, okay, see you guys later, we're done. Like, and then I could see the Rents's eyes light up, you know, like, oh, I'm gonna be calling this guy, you know.
Yeah,
so
it was
cool. Yeah, for sure, it was cool to see those guys working together. Yeah.
Side note, Mark, who's been become a pretty good friend of mine as well, has been the only live music act on this podcast.
Oh wow.
I'd say it's somewhere in the teens. Like, he came on with another friend, Jim Marley, and they played acoustic song. Awesome.
Very cool.
Very cool. Yeah.
Very cool.
I wish I would have had this set up for recording, because obviously the acoustic, it wasn't awesome. The recording isn't awesome, but the song is cool. And but now I lost track of where we were going with that.
The whole live band thing. Yeah,
live band. So just last year, Rents was releasing a new album, and we thought, hey, let's do a Lyrical Pedestrian show with the band.
Oh, cool.
And, oh, man, it was just, for one thing, I don't get on stage much anymore.
Yeah.
Because I'm retired, you know? This is what I do in retirement.
Hey, man.
I record a podcast. But, man, oh, it's fucking awesome. It was just so cool.
Yeah.
That is, like, there's...
It's a different energy.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely different energy. And on a whole nother level, and definitely the crowd feels that and you feel that.
I vibe off it big time. Yeah. You know, like, it's definitely... There's,
like, I wouldn't want to go back.
Yeah,
to
you know...
Track. And it was tracks or DJ.
It was, I think, at the time when Slow Spoke started and Black Belt Jonesin was ending, it had become so much work for me to keep Black Belt Jonesin going, you know, just because of, you know,
it's a lot of people,
eight different schedules, people getting frustrated, you know, like it's growing pains. You know, when you got eight different people to pay at the end of your show, even the really good shows don't pay out that much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was just, it became a behemoth, you know. It was fun. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh, let me get back to my hip hop roots for a while. So Slow Spokes was like really refreshing for me, to where I didn't have to be doing so much organizing, so much work to get everything working, you know. So it was more I could just sit back and be an MC again, you know. So that was refreshing, but you know, the hunger to work with the band was always there.
Yeah. So that's cool.
Yeah.
So the name Fruit for Thought, where did that come from? Who came up with that?
That was actually I came up with that one. And it was just, you know, like a year ago, I was kind of going through, you know, I was going through a lot of change, changing my diet, changing the way I live, because I have an autoimmune disease called ankylosing spondylitis, and it was...
sounds like something you just made up, but I believe it. I believe it.
No, it's for real. It's for real.
Okay.
So, you know, I had, you know, really had to take a look at, you know, everything, my diet and everything, and I had got into juicing and stuff like that, and it was just like, I'd really just realized that, you know, you are what you eat at that point. I was up to like 380 pounds just because I wasn't able to work out or anything anymore. So like, things had slowed way down for me, and I had to get out of that. It just wasn't me, you know. So I started juicing. I drove out to LA last January and went on like a 10-day juice fast, lost 50 pounds, and like that whole trip kind of, you know, it was like food for thought, you know. It was kind of like my whole mantra that whole trip. And
yeah,
I was like, when I got back and I started jamming with the band, it was like, I asked them, I'm like, you know, this is kind of where I'm at in life, you know, this is kind of what I'd like to have it be. And they were like, yeah, that's cool, totally cool, we're behind it. So that's kind of where it all came from,
you know. I think it's that's probably something that I wish I would have known about, such things earlier in life. You know, when you get older in age, you're like, man, I can't be eating Big Macs every night. You know what I mean?
And yeah, you know, and I just don't think that, you know, our parents' generation, and it's not their fault because they were brought up in it too, you know, they just didn't think about, you know, like TV dinners being horrible and, you know, like Hamburger Helper is going to kill you someday or turn on a disease. You know, you just don't. Yeah. You think, I think people just kind of like follow along, you know, we all followed along and watched advertisements and ate the food that they put up on TV when you should be eating the food that comes out of the ground. And, you know, that's
the convenience.
It's
a big way.
Yeah. You know, you get caught up and you don't want to cook a home cooked meal or use fresh produce and stuff like that.
Did you hear, I read a magazine called Wired Magazine. I don't know if you've ever heard of Wired.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
There was an article last year on one of the original, or I don't think he was one of the original, because he was a younger guy, higher up at McDonald's, and he left the company, and he wanted to start a chain of fast food restaurants, but it was all fresh produce, fresh fruits and vegetables.
Oh,
And it would work in a system in that, you know, like, depending on where you're at, there's, you know, greenhouses, grow houses in the area that they're, it's all locally grown and produced, you know, so it's all fresh. But then it's like, shit, there's a lot of factors in doing something like that. I love the concept, but it's like, how do you keep up with the demand? What if it's like huge?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, there's fields and fields and fields across America that don't grow superfoods. They grow stuff like corn and soybeans and stuff like that. Where that, you know, like corn is not beneficial to anything but animals and right. making, you know, making cornmeal and, you know, stuff like that. You
yeah.
know, but we have fields and fields of it. We make gas out of it when it doesn't even make sense. It costs money to make gas out of corn. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they've got all these fields growing. If you changed it to superfoods, you know, we would, you know, and nice produce and had a, you know, of nice variants of food out there instead mm-hmm. of growing all this food to, so we can produce the meat to eat. You
right.
know, it's a very expensive process and a very wasteful process that, mm-hmm. you know, if it would it just take a shift in thinking in how, you know, our agriculture works out there, and mm-hmm. it would be, you know, we'd have an abundance of produce. I
think,
you know.
Does it come down to money, do you think? Like the big...
Yeah, you know, a lot of those farms are subsidized, you know, yeah. they're getting paid to grow in excess of shit that you don't need, you know, mm-hmm. so it's just like...
It sucks because you can't blame the farmers. They just need.
No,
they just need to get.
They're doing what they got to do
living.
To survive. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And the government's saying, hey, you know, we're going to pay you to do this, even if they don't even use it. You know, they're going right. to take that corn that you grew and try to make gas out of it. Which, you know, it's like you could legalize industrial hemp and make gas out of that. Which, and you'd get way more, have better soil. Mm-hmm. You know, or you could use sugar cane, which is another source of fuel. You know, that they use. They do it. They use. That down in Brazil, and that's an excellent source and okay. great for the soil. And but here we just subsidize the shit out of stuff that's wasteful, you know, right. like corn, giant rows of corn. Why would you do that?
Well, I think the hemp thing, it's on a good path right now.
Yeah,
it seems to be.
Yeah, I think you know,
finally.
People, well, it's like, you know? I mean, science. When science leaves you standing there by yourself, what are you gonna do? You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, the naysayers have. I always said, you know, drugs kill and weed kills. Well, you know what? Guess what? There's zero deaths. You know, no one's ever
right.
died from it.
Yeah, and I think people are finally coming around to that. And I don't smoke much these days.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely a supporter of legalizing. Because I, beyond the use of hemp, which mm-hmm. there's many, many uses for hemp, the medical reasons, there's people that are close to me that, like, have anxiety issues, social issues. And smoking marijuana is like it normalizes them. I mean, not normalizes, but definitely helps them.
I've pretty much been a case study in that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, with the arthritis, I mean, I was pill popping for a long time. You
okay.
know, like having, you know, and that was doctor sponsored, you know, because I would get muscle spasms from my disease really bad in my back to where I'd be crippled, and the only thing
wow.
that would work were like was a mix of steroids. Pain pills and muscle relaxers,
mm-hmm.
and it would never actually get rid of anything or cure anything or, you know, stop the pain from coming back. It would just mask it.
Yeah.
Know? So I was never getting to the solution of the problem. Took years to figure out what the problem even was.
Right.
But yeah, when I started, when I switched to smoking, because someone, you know, I was a casual smoker, but someone said, you know, you should try it medically, you know, and see, give it a shot and see
mm-hmm.
if that what it does. And I tried some CBD, you know, high CBD, you know, low sativa level, you know, low THC level,
mm-hmm.
more for the body high, you know, so
okay.
it relax you. And like, I started that in like 2009 and haven't gotten back spasms since.
Wow.
Like, literally hadn't had to take Vicodin.
There you
had
go.
To take muscle relaxers ever.
Yeah.
You know, like, never have to anymore. I never got spasms after I did that.
Wow.
You know, on a combination of that and Humira, which is a shot that I have to take.
Okay.
But the biggest change was when I switched from pills to smoking.
Yeah.
And my mental health was, you know, way, way, way better. You
right.
know, I'm not.
That is a case
not
study
like
right there.
Yeah,
man.
I don't feel like a zombie anymore because
yeah.
when you take pills, like
right.
that shit is like soul sucking. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So
yeah.
it's definitely. It's medicine, and I've never felt like, oh my God, I'm going to die from this. You
right.
know?
Although I've known people that have eaten pot brownies.
Yeah.
Which.
you have to be careful.
You
with
do
the
have
edibles,
to be careful,
you know?
Yeah. yeah. But that's cool, man. I didn't know that about you. And,
yeah.
And that's good to know. That's a lot of that stuff's coming to light here. And I think Minnesota as a state
yeah,
potentially
you know.
Is on that path. To
2014 is going to be on the. It's going to be up
ballot?
For a vote. Yeah, it's on the ballot. So.
Nice.
I don't know if we're going to get to vote for it or if it's going to be something that's going to be a bill that's sponsored, but
okay.
I know it's going to be at least a bill that's sponsored this year, so hopefully we get medical and I'll be all good at that point, you know?
Nice.
then I won't have to hide anymore. You know what
right,
I mean?
Yeah.
That's why you never knew. Is like, you know, my professional life. You know, when I go to work, it's like, you know, you can't ever express, these are the medicines that I use to survive. You know, if I was on Prozac and Vicodin and muscle relaxers, all I would need is a freaking doctor's note, and they'd be like, oh, yeah, sure, come on in.
Yeah,
but
right.
What's the worst situation, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Green.
Oh, he smokes pot? Oh, yeah. Get him out of here. Get him out of here.
So let's get back to food for thought.
Yes.
What... You guys are recording an album then?
Yep.
Is that that's, you got an album title?
We're throwing around a few names right now.
Okay.
Strong Arm Unity, I think, is what we're kind of leaning towards right now. But you know, what's
an ETA on that? Is there any?
Right now we're in the recording process. You know, like we've gotten a lot of stuff to the point where, you know, we're ready to do final takes on stuff. You know, all the ideas are done. We've practiced everything is, you know, we're playing it like it's the back of our hand now, you know, to the point like we're almost sick of playing our current set that's going to be recorded, which is, I think, you know, you have to get to that point before you're ready to actually get into the studio and do it. Otherwise, you're going to have problems. So I think, yeah, now we're just going to when it happens, it's going to happen quick, and then everything will be ready. But yeah, we got that first single done. We went in there, and Strong Arm Unity is actually the first track that's done. And
okay.
And I gave you that track. But yeah, that's where we're starting, and we've got about 9 or 10 more that I think we're going to do on this first project.
Okay, cool. So you're looking at a 10 to 12 track album?
Yeah,
somewhere in there.
You know, maybe. I'm nothing set in stone. You
understood.
Know
I mean? Yeah. Understood. Take it with a grain of salt, folks. Yeah, that's cool. So just whenever it's done, and
yep.
That's it?
Yeah, you know, we're actually going to be doing a few shows, which are going to pay for some studio sessions. We were going to go down to South by Southwest, but we decided... we're just going to focus right now on just getting this done and getting all our merch together and, you know,
okay.
Just doing the preparedness, you
right.
know, the prep cooking
right.
for doing the road stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. So now you are still doing your own solo stuff, though, whenever you feel like it, then? Is that the case?
Yeah, well, you know, I have, it's kind of cool because my weekend falls in the middle of the week, Wednesday and Thursday, and it's been like... practice day and production day, and that's mm-hmm. you know, like my production day is when I work on my solo stuff, practice day is when I work with the band,
right?
You know, so it's cool, like that's been my schedule, you know, and that's kind of how I do it. So I'm equally putting energy into both things,
okay,
constantly like pushing myself to stay on top of writing everything.
Good.
And,
that's
yeah.
good. So you're finding the good balance.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
important too.
And staying busy at the same, you know, keeping myself fully operational,
mm-hmm.
you know. So
before we started recording, we were talking about that track Two Broken Monks.
Yeah.
And who is the producer?
Flinch. Yep.
Flinch. Okay.
Yep.
And
I actually co-produced.
Co-produced, right. But I would imagine your co-producing is you're actually involved in that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 I play, you know, I like to play, you know, we kind of, when we do that, he's really, really dope at like the percussive part of it and putting together the drum tracks, you know, and I'll do a little bit of input in on that, but I usually leave that for him. And then we'll go back and forth and find sounds and just add in melodies and harmonies to those, you know,
okay.
and stuff like that. So it's definitely a collaborative effort, and I'm not going to take away from his, you know, production skills at
sure.
all. Like,
okay.
he is definitely the Dr. Dre of the situation.
Right, yeah. You're just the Daz.
Yep,
I'm just here. I'm just Snoop's cousin.
Yep.
That's all I am. That's cool. So, and then when we were talking, you were saying when you first started rapping in, like, 03, you said? Is that right?
Well, I originally first started rapping in, like, 97, but 03 is when I first started to really get, you know, some professional, you know, some you're working with the professionals and
right,
get into
okay.
a professional setting where I'm working in, a nice studio and
okay.
not in a basement studio. You know, 2003, I met Flinch. I met Laserbeak. We were all working out at Carp D Studios over in North Minneapolis.
Okay.
At the Taylor Sound Building, and I ran into Flinch in a hallway, and he was working with a few of the other artists that were in the studio, and just kind of we started talking, and we're both like big into kung fu movies, and so we're talking about, you know, making beats you know, in that style and stuff like that, and he started showing me his production. I was like, oh man, you know, I could definitely rap over your stuff,
right.
And you know, we started vibing, and yeah, so him and Laserbeak were definitely my first two that, you know, Laserbeak, I remember going over to his crib and working underneath his bunk bed on his little MPC, and he was just making some epic sounding beats. Like, even back then, like, you could just tell, you know, where he was going with his sound, and it was always nice. Just this big epic sound. He did this track called Simple Minds for me that was just like, it was like this one single guitar piece and this really good drum line that actually we used for a Black Belt Jones and track later.
Okay.
And they kind of turned it into a live version of that, which was, yeah, it was a cool evolution.
Nice.
Yeah.
Man, history.
Yeah.
It's all history.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. Definitely. There's a lot of history. You know.
That's nice. Cool. Well, where can people find you on the internet? On the webs?
Facebook.
Where you at?
Facebook.com/food4thoughtmusic. Facebook, you know, obviously, / Bonafide. I'm also on Bandcamp, Reverb Nation, with the Slow Spokes, / Slow Spokes as well. Mm-hmm. But
can
yeah.
I tell you, remember there was a show we played. This was like one of my last shows I ever did.
Okay.
Like, was it, I'm sorry, at The Rock.
Yeah.
Remember this show? And I remember looking at the bill, or like the set list times, and Slow Spokes was actually Slow Pokes.
Yeah. We got.
That was pretty funny.
Oh, man. We showed up at another venue, and we were Slow Folks. You know, we've been Slow Pokes a few. Oh, God. Yeah, there was, you couldn't, anything you could think of to screw that one up there.
Well, it can't be Slow Spokes. That just doesn't make any sense.
Slow Folks. That was great. Slow we just shuffled. We did the Aussie shuffle, I think, that whole show.
Nice.
Oi. Oi. Oi.
All right, so, and Bonafide, just so people are familiar with the spelling, Bonaph.
Yep, with a space.
With a space,
yes,
okay.
With a space, capital right. P-H.
Capital P-H.
Yep, yep, yep.
I-D-E. Official website?
No, you know, I just keep it with, you know, the Facebook.
Keep it real.
Yeah, you know. Just
by real, I mean
I've
free.
Got a Bandcamp, you know, set up to sell the music. Probably at some point maybe do TuneCore when we do officially release it, you know, something right. Like that, you know, just to do the digital distribution. But,
yep.
But yeah.
TuneCore is where it's at.
Yeah, you know.
Lunatic Days, we're all about TuneCore.
Yeah, you know, it's use the independent resources that you get you the most money back, you know what I mean?
You can't, not everyone can be Sony.
Yeah,
Sony, and just call up.
Well, no, if you get lucky too,
iTunes.
You know, if you get lucky, you know, even with those, you know, if you get a lot of sales, you're getting a lot majority of that money,
absolutely.
Way more than if you were signed to a record label.
Right.
So
yep.
You know, like Macklemore, that dude, he, you know,
raking it in.
Yeah, raking it in because he's independent. You know, it's like
that's what we strive for.
Yep.
That's what we strive for. That's why I make
definitely.
A hit podcast,
there you
which
go,
I don't
there.
Get any money for.
Hey, you know, but if it, you know,
it's a good time.
If ever you get noticed and picked up by someone, you know, you could get a big payday on it. You know, like it
maybe.
Just, all that stuff. You know, you could be inviting me out to the cabin at the island somewhere. You know, my podcast.
Come record,
talking
spend
about
the
my
weekend.
Podcast. You know,
spend
just
the
finally
weekend.
Paid dividends.
Yeah. Bring the kids.
Yeah,
or
we're gonna
leave
celebrate.
Leave the kids at home.
Yeah, leave the kids at home. We're celebrating. This podcast thing paid off.
Yeah, finally. But I gotta wrap this up. Let's I'm gonna tell people thankyourob.com. If you go to this website, you'll see before you a landing page. You might be a little confused. You're like, what is this? What is that? Let me tell you. All right, let me lay it out here for you. There's the Thank You Rob podcast that you're listening to right now. Okay.
Okay.
You can go back, listen to old episodes on demand.
Nice.
You know, all the old classics. I haven't interviewed Dre or Snoop yet.
That's
yet.
Coming though. That's coming. Definitely.
Yeah, maybe next week. Maybe
after
Snoop
they
will
listen
hear this.
To this, they might have some things to clear the
air.
Yeah,
they're like,
there,
wait
know.
A minute.
Hey.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You guys got your facts. Well, let me just come in there. And, yeah.
This is why detox.
Stop reading
isn't
Wikipedia.
Yeah, you can go there and listen to the old episodes, and then I also have I do graphic design work. I Define Design. There's a link there. I have another podcast called Some People's Kids Podcast, which is a comedy podcast with my buddy Chuck that someday we will record new episodes for. There's only 6 episodes of that.
Okay.
6. Compared to 58 of this. All right. Chuck, are you listening? Chuck. This is the last time I'll publicly berate you. Anyways, and then there's also a link to Brims and Tongues right from the website there.
Oh, yeah.
So if you want to check out the... cheesehead shirt. Yeah. There's a Vikings one, too.
Well, there you go. Now we're speaking my language.
Yeah. There you go.
And maybe I'll wear it the next time you have me on here for number two. I'll have the Brims and Tongues Viking version.
There
maybe.
You go. If you haven't seen it yet, watch the Beard Game proper video. Big Wiz, Big Jess. Big Jess himself rocking some Brims and Tongues in every scene.
Nice.
Every scene he's in, he's wearing a Brims and Tongues t-shirt and or hat.
Oh, very cool.
So, yeah, he's a very vocal supporter of the independent clothing company that is Brims and Tongues.
Nice. Have you heard of Sectwear? Sectwear, yeah. S-E-C-T. Yeah, they do a lot of really cool Twin Cities t-shirts.
There's a few companies out there that I really like. Unfortunately, yeah. They don't sponsor my podcast. So.
Oh, they sponsored me. So
oh, they did?
Yeah,
oh, that's cool.
Since you're talking about that's clothing. Cool. Yeah, I've got they've got like the Twin Cities Ambergram, and then like it's a whole bunch of Twin Cities inspired stuff.
That's so cool. Yeah, there's a couple out there that I can't think of offhand. But
Stack Duckets.
Stack Duckets, yeah. Any last words there?
Hey, man, I just appreciate you having me out. It's been fun talking about a classic album, hanging out with my boy, and
we'll do it again.
Some good memories.
We'll do it again someday.
That's awesome.
Someday.
Yeah.
When the time comes after the next Doggy Style comes out.
I'm sure you'll let me know. Or when, what album are we waiting for?
Helter Skelter.
Helter Skelter, thank
you.
When Helter Skelter comes out. There we go.
All right, I'm going to wrap this up with Chewbacca Balls.
Hypocrisy, heavy hitters leading on some strong arm unity. Set the bar high for the hip hop community in the land of the cold, where the breath is visible. Moving as a unit, gotta be indivisible. I'm a big man, all will, no frills. Got a lot of momentum, pushing 300 bills. See my left hook, I'll leave anybody shook. So the next time they see me, there won't be a second look. All that sideways, my ways is better than yours. Leave you sitting by the wayside, trying to bite my flows. Did y'all wind up? Dunny, we'll see how that goes. Your steez is amateur, we first round of the pros. Check the stat sheet, we some MVPs. Blowing it up like WMDs. That's right, wanted it, you got it. Pull tight, we bout to start it this night. The moment's time's here and there's no room to doubt it. That's right, you wanted it, you got it. Hold tight, we about to start it this night. We all about it. The moment's time's here and there's no room to doubt it. Coach used to tell me life's about the hustle. To react and that reaction move the muscle, so I never think twice. Let loose the dice, got a block of dry ice under this Minnesota nice. These guys got my back, world's in my corner, got an eye on the pie. About to jack corner, Jack's done a lot, but he ain't mess with this saga. You touch for all of us and die with stigmata. These haters gon' get nada, thinking that they oughta. Ain't never moved an ounce, but claiming they Montana. Only keys they ever seen come out of a piano. It gets hot in Hell's Kitchen, we just treat it like a sauna. When it comes to this team, we never seen the likes. Turn the whole party out before we ever touch the mics. My rhymes already deadly, don't need to be a killer. Push me to my limit and my aim's like Vern Miller. That's right, you wanted it, you got it. Hold tight, we bout to start it this night. We all about it, the moment's time's here and there's no room to doubt it. That's right, you wanted it, you got it. Hold tight, we bout to start it this night. We all about it, the moment's time's here and there's no room to doubt it. To start it this night, we all about it. The moment's hot here, and there's no room to doubt it. That's right.
wanted it, you got it. Hold tight. We about to start it this night. We all about it. The moment's hot, and there's no room to doubt it.